Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
A visit with Derek Gould is coming up to get you ready for the series here in Pittsburgh. The first of four is Daniel Ponce de Leon will go for the St. Louis Cardinals. Meanwhile, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, they will send out right-hander Trevor Williams. He's had 13 starts this year. He's 3-3, ERA over 5. He was scratched from his scheduled start over the weekend due to severe flu-like symptoms. The reports he lost 7 pounds while dealing with that illness. Meanwhile, Daniel Ponce de Leon is going today. He's been in 8 games, 5 starts. He has 1 win. That was in relief and his only major league win. His career as a starting pitcher, by the way, 9 starts, 2.62 ERA, no wins. Cardinals are 5-4 when he starts a game. So Daniel goes tonight for St. Louis. Trevor Williams for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Cardinals fresh off of taking 3-4 against Cincinnati, and you can see the game tonight on Fox Sports Midwest. Will come your way at 5:30 St. Louis time. They have won 3 straight series since the All-Star break, the St. Louis Cardinals. Last time they won the first 3 series out of the break was back in 2015. Ironically, the last time they were in postseason play. There's a lot to get to concerning the Cardinals and what's happening right now. We'll talk about Tommy Edman and Jairo Munoz, maybe where they fit in for the club, as well as what's happening with the bullpen. Giovanni Gallegos has really emerged and done a terrific job in their pen, and he was awesome in yesterday's game, coming in with the bases loaded and one out and pitching out of that jam. This is brought to you by Westport Social. Here's the website to go to, Westport Social, all one word, -STL.com. And you could face off against your friends, ultimate bragging rights, and 7 classic games, indoor bocce, papa shot, floor and table, shuffleboard, ping pong, darts, all kinds of things at Westport Social. It's a huge area. They've got live music always on the weekends, every single weekend, big brunch on Sundays. When you're thinking about maybe a private party or that special night out, think about Westport Social. Really a fun place to be. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios in Brilliant Clarity by Lordo's Diamonds. See their selection. Walk through their doors in Clayton, 9222 Clayton Road, and say hello to Jimmy Lordo. Tell him that you heard this on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Mention my name or the website. Get additional money off. That's Lordo's Diamonds. Coming up, we visit with Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. More features keep rolling out on the Schnucks Rewards app, all designed to simplify shopping. Your rewards points still continue to pile up, earning you money off your next purchase. But now you can create customizable and shareable shopping lists. You can shop for your family's dietary needs with the new wellness icons. Gluten-free, organic, heart smart, it's all covered. You can even find exclusive savings in a single touch with over 100 weekly coupons. Schnucks Rewards. Download it today. Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Chance to visit with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and STLToday.com. Well, Derek, the Cardinals in Pittsburgh tonight. It was some nail-biters over the weekend. Let's start with that in Cincinnati, taking 3-4 from the Reds. What did we learn about this team this weekend?
Well, I think we learned that, you know, Cincinnati is not yet ready for prime time. And the Cardinals heightened their position in the division at the expense of rivals, which is really what this whole stretch is about, including the series starting tonight in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's about stepping on the teams beneath you in the standings to look taller against the teams leading the standings. So I think, you know, we learned that. One, I was rather impressed, Dan, with how the Cardinals had to maximize their roster in that series, not just the 25-man roster, but really the 40-man roster. And when you dial it back a few months, even guys off the 40-man roster, you know, Tommy Edman was not on the 40-man roster, and he was a huge contributor in that series against the Reds. The grand slam, obviously, 2 runs in the 10-run inning. You look at Giovanni Gallegos, who has really flip-flop positions with John Gant for all intents and and is the primary versatile setup guy right now. He wasn't, you know, a factor in spring training. He was dismissed so early from Major League spring training that there in Cincinnati, Schilt said that was probably a mistake. He said, we didn't give him a longer look. or as long of a look as we should have. He might not have had a chance to flash the pitch that is now one of the best coming out of the bullpen for the Cardinals, that slider, that, or he calls a slider that's like kind of a hard curve. Then Munoz had a great game and a big part of the win on Sunday. And then right down to Ryan Helsley, who wasn't on the active roster Friday, was Saturday, and was gone by Sunday, and yet pitched two scoreless innings that helped the bullpen figure out a way to just breathe again. So I was really struck by the fact that, you know, for so long this winter and spring training, the Cardinals talked about how one edge that they were going to have was the depth and elasticity of their roster. And in this series, they showed it.
Situational hitting, to me, though, is still rearing its ugly head.
Such a problem.
How do you improve that, Derek, as you talk to the coaches, Jeff Albert, players? How does that improve here in the final 2 months and a week?
Well, I think in their ball talk, I think in their ball talk today, they could run the video of Sunday's game and offer two examples, one how to do it and one how not to do it. One how to do it, right? All those steals against Desclafani, right? Four steals in one inning. It's the second time that they've been able to steal that many bases against Desclafani. He doesn't hold them on. They know it, so they go. Those steals, particularly, well, first of all, Tyler O'Neill's steal, and then going to third on the ground ball, right? Situational hitting. He, at third, brought the infield in, and Munoz went the other way. He consciously made the decision to go the other way because he was going to get a ground ball or he's going to get something that would bring that run in. And because the infield was in, it flipped over the second baseman's head and he got a base hit. But that was a reward for the right process. Okay, so that's Exhibit A. That's what you're supposed to do. Then Exhibit B, which they could also show, is Harrison Bader. Now, Harrison Bader got a run in, right? And I would argue deserved an RBI. He was not given one by the official score. I would not be shocked at all if that changes. There'll probably be an appeal. But what he did was he yanked the ball on the ground to third base. And now the ball got under the glove of Eugenio Suarez and passed the shortstop, brought in a run. That is not what they do. And that is what they've done so often, so many times, especially right-handed hitters, have had ground balls to the pull side with that runner in third, and they just have not been able to make it happen. I mean, you look at Munoz has the leadoff triple, and it doesn't move. How often were they just not making contact, or the contact was to the left side? It's just how do you correct that? I think you offer up the examples of what to do and what not to do. Tell me if I'm wrong there, Dan.
Well, and I'll go back to even the night before. Paul Goldschmidt, runner at third, doesn't bring him in. Cardinals lose by a run. And
0-for-8 with runners in scoring position, all from the top four spots in the order.
The Cardinals have been, in my opinion, extremely poor at situational hitting with runners in scoring position and with a runner at third, less than two outs. And the numbers bear that out. And if they're going to win and get into postseason play and have a chance, that has to change. However, you're 4 months into the season. I'm not sure it's going to change now. And that's something that concerns me with this team, is trying to find a way to bring those runners in and make sure you're maximizing all chances to score. It's not going to happen every time, but, man, it's got to improve down the stretch.
I think there are a few guys who have done quite well with it, and I think there are a few guys who have struggled with it, and for the most part, the guys who have struggled with situational hitting are also the ones who have just struggled to hit. If I think of guys who aren't, like, overall producing but have done all right within situational hitting, I think of Wong. And that's it.
That's,
you know,
right.
I mean, I don't really, and that's anecdotal. I don't have the numbers on the tip of my fingers, but I think Wong has done all right with situational hitting. And overall, he has had his struggles offensively. But for the most part, the guys who struggle in situational hitting are just overall struggling. And it's like under that umbrella, like what fixes first, right? Can they do something situationally to provide for the team if they're overall struggling, or are they just overall struggling to hit?
You wrote about Paul Goldschmidt. I found it interesting about
a lot.
You know, his approach and maybe what he's doing to get ready for games and things of that nature. What did you take away? And I'm sure Goldie will be in the lineup today after the pseudo off day yesterday. But against the Pirates this season, he's got 9 driven in, 9 games, his OPS 1.024 and a 324 average. He's also had better plate discipline for whatever reason. I was looking at the numbers against Pittsburgh with 9 walks in those games. And he struck out 7 times. Strikeouts, though, have always been a part of his game, and it will continue to be that case more than likely. So, you know, a lot of fans are wondering, what is going on here? Why is he not taken off? You know, we can understand a long stretch. He's had that before of non-success. But what did you take away from visiting with Paul and others about what's going on with him?
Well, one of the things he told me was that kind of what you just said is that this is not the first time he's struggled. This is just the longest time he's struggled. And that does bother him. But he doesn't want to start seeking out changes because that's a way to prolong the struggles. What he wants to do is kind of find some way to just remain consistent and then see where that takes him. You know, so he's done a lot of work. He's not a big video guy, but, you know, he told me he's looked back at the video, and Jeff Albert has encouraged him to look at positive video, not, you know, to labor over recent swings, go back to when he was happy with his swing, that kind of thing. So I think, you know, you're seeing a guy who is definitely searching, never, you know, I mean, from all indications, his coaches, teammates, you know, past teammates, whatever, this is a guy who does not shy away from the work, whether it is to find a swing or maintain a swing. So that's what he's doing. I just am really struck by how different the at-bats are that he's having this season, in terms of what he's seeing from opponents and the positions he's constantly in. You know, I counted him up Sunday for the game, or no, for, I guess, for the story in Monday's paper. You know, his 60% of the time, you know, what, 3 out of every 5 plate appearances, he's at 2 strikes. Actually, it's more than that. It's 62% of the time. So almost 2 out of every 3 plate appearances, he's at 2 strikes. You know, Matt Carpenter, who relishes hitting with 2 strikes in his career, does not have that high of a rate. Joey Votto, who again seeks to hit with 2 strikes, chokes up, has made a career of it, does not face 2 strikes at that rate. Christian Yelich, who is having, you know, an MVP caliber season as the reigning MVP, is less than 50% of the time he's batting with 2 strikes on him. You throw in the fact that Paul Goldschmidt, for the first time in his career, is seeing less than 50% fastballs. That means a majority of the pitches, for the first time in his career, are off-speed pitches. They're getting ahead, or pitchers are either getting ahead or they're pitching backwards. And, you know, he's got to adjust to that. Does that mean that he all of a sudden has to become an ambush hitter? I mean, possible, right? I mean, that might be one way to jar it from, you know, jar him back to plays and change the approaches. But, you know, I'm struck by that, Dan. I mean, the numbers are remarkable when you think of just the spike from previous years as far as how many off-speed pitches he's facing and then how often he's just in a defensive count.
The other thing I was going to ask you about, Tommy Edman clearly has given this club a lift. The more I watch Munoz, I think he's given the club a lift when he plays, and
Agreed.
He puts a premium on putting the ball in play, and he gives you versatility and a great at-bat yesterday with what he did with the infield drawn in. Now
situational hitting.
That's right. Now, Colton Wong is hitting .342 in 14 games in the month of July.
Yep.
Now, his last extra base hit, though, was the 5th of July, 1 RBI in his last 10 games, 6 in his last 28. So my question would be, you've got Munoz, Edmund, Wong. How do you think this plays out, especially with the trade deadline coming up around the corner?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. And Matt Carpenter coming back too, right?
That's right.
So you got 4 into 2, essentially. I still keep waiting to see Munoz or Edmund get a run in the outfield.
That's where I think Gyro might be best.
I think Mike Matheny thought that Gyro's best position was center field. And there just wasn't a whole lot of reason to use him out there, but he always felt that, like, defensively, the arm, how he plays, that the best position for him was center field. I think that comes from, you know, that comes from the story, right, about Tate seeing him play, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. He told us in a scrum about that, yes.
Yeah, and that then he had a subsequent conversation with Munoz, who talked about how much he enjoys playing center field. And then, you know, as I wrote about in the paper today, he had that three-error game at shortstop, and it brought it all up again, right? Is center field the better place for him, just the better speed of position for him? So I keep waiting to see that, because there's a lot to like about Gyro's game in, and I don't think it has to be every day. I think there's some matchup level to play with this group. Tommy Edman being a switch hitter helps out a lot. Being a contact hitter helps out a lot. Bader being a guy who really, again, Cincinnati did quite well coming off the bench. Twice came off the bench and sparked a rally. I think there's a way to make it all work, but outfield has to be in play. If you're going to say Edmund is either second base, shortstop, or third, or Munoz is either the same three positions, then there's a traffic jam, and, you know, playing the matchups is just going to create more of a jumble. But if center field is in play, especially for Munoz, and I don't, you know, it seems like Edmund would give it a go, and has really worked or has worked at that position in AAA. I think if that's in play, then you're talking about a much more formidable way of utilizing those guys.
I think it's going to be interesting too. At some point, Ozuna comes back sooner rather than later, and
yep.
You're going to have O'Neill, Ozuna, Bader, Martinez. As you mentioned, Munoz can play in the outfield. You got Dexter Fowler. There's going to be a roster clutter coming up here, and Mike Myers coming back in the bullpen.
You got to make a move. Carpenter. You might have to make a trade with Myers.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of things happening right now that could really change the complexity of this roster going forward in the next week or so.
Well, don't dismiss Memphis as a landing spot for one of those guys.
Absolutely.
As we talk right now, Harrison Bader is searching for a swing. Good series against Cincinnati. I know I used his example as a way not to situational hit. I don't want to take away from what he did in that 10-run inning. It was a huge part of that game, especially how he studied the pitcher, how he got a feel for the pitcher, how engaged, that's the word that Chilt likes to use, so we'll borrow it, how engaged he was with the game, and how he went out there not just to sop up innings in a blowout, but how he went up there and utilized what he learned. I think, so credit where credit's due. But for him to find his swing, there's nothing stopping the Cardinals from saying, hey, look, Matt Carpenter was willing to go to the minors. Yes, on a rehab. Yes, he was still making major league bank. Yes, fine. So a little bit easier decision for him to make. But Harrison, you could go to the minors and find your swing. And they can do that, politely and talk to him about it, or they can just do it. That is a possibility. It was a possibility before Ozuna got hurt too. This was something that had at least been explored. I don't know how far down the runway it got, but at least it'd been explored as a possibility, because then he could have played for that whole week, after not playing all that much, but then, Ozuna got hurt and it became academic. With the way Fowler is playing in center, I think that also is a factor. But if you have Munoz out there and Fowler, and you want O'Neill to get some playing time, it's just going to put a squeeze on somebody to the point where they're squeezed off the roster.
Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Hair Saloon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Saloon for Men, 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Saloon for Men. And a final question. Daniel Ponce de Leon going tonight against the Pirates. They've dropped 7 of 9 since the All-Star break, and Josh Bell has got 4 hits since the break. He hasn't been
cooled
the same
off.
Player. Yeah, he's really, really cooled off. And the Pirates lost yesterday in 11 to the Phillies, so this is a team going the other way. It's the first of 4. It's a big series in the division. And really, you know, as you take a look at it, and I was on Bernie Miklas' show this morning, and he asked me about where the Cardinals are at the trade deadline. And I brought up the example of Neil Huntington last year, where the Pirates had won, I guess it was 5 straight against Milwaukee before the break. And then they came out and won 5 straight, and it was 11 overall.
Right.
And remember, they went out and made the Chris Archer deal, and he said, we have to honor this team for what they've done. And that's why we went out and got Chris Archer. And it was a costly deal for them.
Right.
I'm curious what Mo thinks right now, especially if you have a good series going into what is a very tough stretch of baseball after this series. Not to say that this isn't, but you've got the Cubs, you've got Oakland, you've got the Dodgers,
Houston.
In L.A., Houston. I mean, it's a tough, tough stretch of baseball. So it'll be interesting to see what he does at the deadline and about a week and some change to go.
Maybe this is something that we explore in greater detail coming up this week and, like, you know, maybe dedicate a whole podcast to it, because I struggle with, and I wrote a little bit about this in Sunday's paper, I struggle with these teams, all of them in the NL Central, professing that these 2 weeks could determine which side of the fence they're on, buyers or sellers, right? To me, it just seems like, wait a minute, you guys beat us over the head about small sample sizes. You beat us over the head about saying, like, well, a down month from slugger Y isn't fair to judge him on because body of work is this. And now you're telling us 2 weeks in a season is going to determine what fork in the road you take at the trade deadline? That just doesn't compute for me. And to be fair, I said that to Mosaic. I said, I don't get that. And, you know, he then explained what he meant by that. He goes, you know, it's a fair question. And he elaborated on, like, this notion of, you know, as the trade deadline arrives and you have urgency and everything, what you're looking for is basically confirmation of what you are. Not what you are in 2 weeks, but for, you know, for as many games as you can get, you know, meaning the whole season, to kind of determine where you are. And if this team is still circling 500, then it is what it is, and maybe you don't invest things. If it's pulled away from 500 and looks more like itself, like the team that they projected that they would be, then you respond to that. And I guess I kind of understand that. My one question, and this is something that we could debate probably, is at some point in time, when do you make, like, everybody makes a trade to improve the team that they are. I get that. Like you just described with the Pirates, you reward the team that you are. But at what point in time do you make a trade to change the team that you are, to get it back on track, to be better, to be the team promised to be? And, you know, I wonder if the Cardinals are in that spot. Yeah, sure, they're circling 500. If they win this series against the Pirates, then that's, you know, 2 more steps in the right direction. They can make a trade at the trade deadline that alters who they are. 3 consecutive years without a major significant move at the trade deadline. And, you know, maybe Tommy Pham qualifies. Maybe that makes them a seller. But I'm quite sure that gets to that level. But a while since they made a substantive move at the trade deadline, and here we are. You know, let's take a look at what would be a way for them to jar themselves off sitting on the fence.
Derek, thanks so much. See you at the ballpark tonight. Let's catch up tomorrow as well.
Would look forward to it, Dan. Well, enjoy Pittsburgh. I will see you there shortly.
Sounds good. Thanks, Derek.